are in need of much healing, aren't we? We are born so completely messed up and we don't even know it. And as we go on through life, we discover our many flaws, unless we live in denial. Every once in a while we meet somebody like that, don't we? It's always somebody else's fault. Such a great thing to just confess, isn't it? We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. Oh, what a blessing. Well, I am with you, he says. I am with you. I didn't always know that. In fact, I came along as a young person with the other idea that he might be a little difficult to find. Man was made to be a temple of God, and in order to be happy, we need to be aware of his presence. I'm persuaded that we are absolutely not our real selves until we're possessed by God. We are just a distorted fraction of our real selves until we're possessed by God. No matter how lovely we are in our youth, we're nothing but a car in a showroom until the driver takes over. We're nothing without God. We were made. It is our destiny not only to be intimate with Him, but to be possessed by Him, to be full of Him. And without that, we're not actually human beings. Jesus came to show us real humanity. A man possessed by God. He came for this twofold mission, fantastic twofold mission, to show us all the truth about God the Father, but in himself also to show us all the truth about ourselves in the new life we have in God. Jesus is the first real man. That's why he is the second Adam and the father of a new race, of which you and I are sons and daughters. Look to him and see your future. Wow. This is what the Lord told his disciples when he went away physically from them. He said, I'm still with you. I'm with you always. To the very end of the age, I'm with you. Somehow, I spent a great deal of my younger life feeling so alone. Maybe this will resonate with some of you, maybe it won't. I could characterize the primary emotion that I had through childhood, young adult, and into midlife as that of loneliness. I believe that whether or not you've identified that emotion, you have experienced it. I believe that so much of our discontent and malaise as human beings comes out of loneliness. Of course we're lonely. We were made for intimacy with our Maker. Until we have that, we must be lonely. And so, as I said before, so much of our wrong comes out of search for love. We can take it deeper. We can make it more comprehensible to ourselves. It's a search for the company of the one who really loves us. Everything we do is in search of that, whether we know it or not. We want to be filled with the Spirit, so we consume spirits. People are looking for God when they're running away from Him. Where are you, God? How many times I cried that out as a young person? Don't leave me. Where are you? These verses confused me. Have you ever been confused by the Bible? It's God's will that the Bible not be immediately understood just from a surface glance. One might think that's contrary to His plan to save as many as possible, but for some reason he has the wisdom to know that the Bible is not to be understood just at a surface glance. And I saw this verse, and I'll share with you a couple others. I saw them shallowly, and I misunderstood them. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And my conception was, oh, so sometimes you can't find Him. And sometimes He isn't near. Instead of getting out of it what I was supposed to get out of it, that He likes to have us look for Him. And this one, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And I put in, and then He will draw near to you. You see what I mean? I misunderstood it. I thought, oh, He's far away, and I have to go find Him. And if I will make that effort, then He'll come close. This one really scared me. You will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if, and I put that if in bold, italics, capitalized, quotation marks around it, if you search for Him with all your heart. And I said, wait a minute, I've never done anything with all my heart. I didn't do my spelling bee with all my heart. I didn't finish my homework with all my heart. I didn't vacuum the house with all my heart. I didn't help my dad pull weeds in the backyard with all my heart. You want to know why I never was any good at sports? You want to be good at sports? You have to have two things. Talent, I didn't get that. But you also have to have complete focus. You have to give yourself to the success of that orb, or you are lost. You have to be where it's dropping in left field. You have to be with that thing as you're swishing it through the net. You've got to have total concentration, or you'll never be any good. Me? Very half-hearted. Hey, left field, I think a ball is coming your way. Are you daydreaming or what? Anyway, I never did anything with my whole heart. I said, God, if my finding You relies on me needing to come after You with my whole heart, I'm lost from the beginning. What do you mean by this? Well, this is the truth that I found. I permitted myself to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here am I. Let's put it in modern English. Here I am. Here I am. Right here. I have spread out my hands all day long to rebellious people. Was He making Himself hard to find? No. That is not in His best interest and not in ours, and He is not doing it. He is making Himself so simple to find, it's a wonder we don't find Him. Look, I stand at the door and knock. Oh, when I really contemplated this verse, it just gave me so much comfort. Even if I kick Him out! Even if I say by my behavior, you're not welcome here anymore. I can never get rid of him more fully than to put him out on the porch. Behold, I stand at the front door. That's the farthest away you can get from me. I stand and knock at your door. If I'm not inside, I'm right there, right there. Not only that, I'm not being quiet about it. I'm saying, hey, anybody home? How do I know he's saying that? Because he says, if anybody hears my voice. He doesn't just knock, he yells. Knock, knock, knock. Anybody home? Knock, knock, knock. I sure would like to come in. Knock, knock, knock. It's rude to leave me out here on the front porch. Oh, when I understood this verse, it just helped me so much. Oh, God, you're not hard to find. You're not far away. You're after me. You're after me. Because somehow I got the idea when I was a kid that there were lots of things I could do that would put God long ways away. There were places I could go that God would not go. And I would be in trouble. I remember that story. I heard a preacher preach, you know. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. They lost him in the temple, talking to the doctors of the law with such brilliancy at age 12. And they went on their way home without him. And then when they realized they lost him, it took them 2 days of bitter, self-recriminating search to find him. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know it's the same way with you. If you put God off, you will find it very difficult, very arduous to find him again. And I took that to heart. Because as you know, I had this disposition to believe that every curse in the Bible was meant for me. And I thought, I'm going to end up spending most of my life without him. I probably do at least 3 things every day to put him off. How am I ever going to have any time with him? You know what? It just isn't like that. It just is not like that. Even Jonah couldn't get away from him, even when he tried to commit suicide. By the way, isn't that a great fish? Oh, I love that thing. If you saw that thing coming towards you, you wouldn't think God. God works in mysterious ways. So David said, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, he didn't even have a spaceship, but he was imagining it. You were there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Not only are you there, wherever I may go, but you're always trying to help me. See, this has to change our prayers. I remember those prayers I prayed before I understood this. Oh, God, please help me. I know I'm evil. I don't deserve anything, and I'm desperate. Please help me. Oh, what can I do to make it right? Oh, God. Hogwash. He is there to help you. Amen. Right now. Amen. I don't care what you just said. I don't care where you just went. I don't care what you just did. He doesn't say, confess your sins and I'll forgive you after 3 days. Whenever you're ready to talk, he's there. Oh, what a relief. What a relief. I would be embarrassed to tell you all the times I've called upon him in situations that he should have ignored me. He should have turned his back on me and said, you smell bad. Clean yourself up a bit, and then we can talk. But he never, ever does that. Never, ever does that. Oh, God. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. Haven't we done that in our youth? Ooh, the actions that are done in the dark. Secret things. But even in the darkness, I can't hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and night are the same to you. You can't get rid of me. Even if you think you want to, you can't. I'm there, and I'm ready any moment. If any man hears my voice, I will come in. Just say yes. Just say yes. I don't care what your condition is. I don't care how rebellious you've been. I've stretched out my hand all day to rebellious people. I don't care. I'm ready if you're ready. This is the gospel, friends. This is the God we can love. Oh. Do not say in your heart, Paul. Paul is quoting, of course, from Moses. Don't say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Where is he? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Even you, wicked man. If you can speak a word, even inaudibly in your heart, he is as near as that word. If you can say, Jesus, if you can say, yes, if you can just say, oh God, he's there, right there. Right with you. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Why are you so lonely? You're not listening. Your comforter is right with you. Right with you, within you. Right there in your head. He has such wonderful things to say to those who will listen. And that's why we can so courageously approach the throne. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. None of that shrinking, cringing, fearful, please, please. Oh yes, let's be humble. Let's admit how unworthy we are. But if we only knew how he longs to commune with us. Do we understand what it means to abide in Christ? Do you understand what it means to have Jesus as the lover of our soul? Do we have any idea that the presence of the divine is in our own heads? Do we know that we can talk to him, eyes closed, tell him everything, and he will answer you if you only listen? He will give you wisdom. He will give you understanding. He will teach you. He will let you know he loves you. He will say, I don't condemn you. I can heal you. I don't condemn you. I can heal you. Let's talk more. You see, the more love of Jesus I absorb, the more like Jesus I am. Let's talk more. Enoch talked with him all the time. Let's talk more. I'm right here. I don't care where you are, what you're doing, what you just did, what you saw, what you looked at. We can talk. The devil tries to keep our brains so occupied that we cannot hear. Doesn't he? Tries to keep them so preoccupied. So some of us graduate from the really bad stuff to just the medium okay stuff, but our brains are still occupied all the time. He's there. He's just as there as he was before, but where am I? Have you heard of mindlessness? It's the opposite of mindfulness. It means we're just stuck on autoplay somewhere. And it's our privilege to be in communion with our Maker all the time. Don't you know that's what heaven's about? All the time. Oh, I look forward to it so much. I'm out on planet Z, and I hear my Maker say, Dale, you know, right now, there's something going on in the heart of one of my children on planet X. Would you go over there for me? I'll give you the words when you get there. Oh, yes, Lord. I'm all over that. Oh, pick me up and take me now. Zoom! Yes, 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 yes. Don't you know the best preparation for heaven is gospel missionary work? Because there is a gospel to share with the unfallen creatures. You know that, don't you? Oh, what a joy. What a joy. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. You know that. Not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are. He already knows everything about us. So why do we talk to him about our stuff? But in order to enable us to receive him. Oh, this is such a great secret. No, it is. Why talk to God? Because in talking to God, I'm opening the door. I'm giving him permission. Don't you see? If anybody hears my voice and talks to me, he's opening the door. It enables us to receive him. Prayer does not bring God down to us. Why not? Because he's already here. But it brings us up to him. It finally puts us in his presence. Even though he's always been in our presence, he puts us mentally in his presence. Oh, what a way magnificent revelation the Lord gave. Our minds may be drawn out toward him. That's good, by the way. It's not a bad thing. We may meditate upon his works. Very good thing to do. His mercies, his blessings. Oh, yes, let's do that more. But this is not in the fullest sense communing with him. In order to commune with God, we must have something to say concerning our actual life. Well, wait a minute, he already knows everything about our actual life. Oh, but don't you see? He wants to implicate himself and involve himself in every part of our actual life. And we haven't given him permission to do that until we talk to him about every part of our actual life. I have complained about people who talk too much. They talk too much, and they always talk about things that are part of their actual life. And frankly, to me, that becomes a bit boring rather rapidly. I guess I'm just so self-absorbed. But I want you to know, God is never bored with all the details of your actual life. You don't have to call up Aunt Mary. You don't have to find someone who'll actually listen. You don't have to pay the counselor. There's somebody who wants to know all your stuff. And here's the great thing. The counselor knows all your stuff. And you say, what should I do about it? And he says, what do you think you should do about it? Oh, yeah. But God... You tell him all your stuff, and in so doing, you're opening another door in the mansion of your soul, and another door, and another door, and another door, and another door, and every time you open a door, he comes into that piece of your being with his healing life. Oh, just his radiance is so healing. Oh, See, you don't have to say, oh God, I'll stop doing that. I know you hate that. I'll stop doing that. Every promise I've ever made is just ridiculous. Some years ago, I just stopped that. I said, God, I know you hate false promises. What you want to do, you want me to talk to you about my stuff. Even if I still like the bad stuff, you just want me to talk to you about it. Because as I talk to you about it, your healing radiance comes into that brain distortion and starts straightening it out. Oh, a magnificent Savior we have. Instead of hiding stuff from Him, you know, we usually hide it from ourselves, right? Oh, that's not really me. It's just a whim that came through. I don't know where it got. It must have been, what's his name, got me into that mood. You know, Lord, that's not the way I actually. Be honest. Talk to Him about it. Then He can actually touch it. Oh, so amazing. He wants to share His thoughts and feelings with us. This is my words, not divine words. And He gets the permission to do that as we share our thoughts and feelings with Him. So if you hate your mother-in-law, tell him. He loves your mother-in-law. Tell him you hate your mother-in-law. Tell him all the reasons why. And thereby give him permission to invade your thoughts and feelings with His thoughts and feelings. We have failed to be very honest in our communications with God. We've confessed our sins so wimpishly. Lord, please forgive all my iniquities. Talk to Him about your iniquities so He can touch them. Oh, friends, we have such a Savior. Such a Savior. Because He loves me, says the Lord, He will call on me. This is how the Lord looks at the people who love Him. See, He's been loving you. You've been feeling His love. You've been warming under the sunshine of His smile. And now you're loving Him back a little bit. And so He says, because He loves me, He will call on me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him. Oh, isn't that great? So we've got to start by being loved by Him. Then we love Him back a little, and then our prayer life just starts flowering. Oh. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And God cannot lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need that great pianist. What's that guy's name? Where are you? Kelly. Oh, Kelly, yes, I need you. We're going to sing this song together as our conclusion for this message. I think you know it. There it goes. Yes. Let's sing it just totally meaningfully. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than all the silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the us so much. Why are you always knocking? Why do you seek entrance to our closestly guarded selves, our most denied secrets? It is not to condemn. You seek to heal. Come in, Jesus. Come in. Come in. Let there not be a part of our soul that escapes your presence and your touch. And we thank you because we know you will only say yes. In Jesus' name, amen.